Thank you, members. We'll move on to the second application for today. So this...
I made a declaration of potential conflict of interest in part three earlier on. Could I have a decision on whether I need to leave the room or not?
Following our discussion on the interest, it's not a pecuniary interest and it's not one which requires you to leave. You are able, if you're comfortable, it's a decision for you that you are comfortable to stay and vote and that you come with an open mind, unbiased, not predetermined.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll move... Councillor Jones.
Can I ask a couple of questions? First of all, I looked at the minutes for this meeting for 12 months ago and I noticed that the voting was 4 in favour and 4 abstentions. I believe that's been corrected, I'm not sure, but it still looks, if I look at the minutes of that meeting now, it still looks as if there were 4 people voted in favour of it and 4 abstentions in the minutes for July, whenever it was, 23, sorry. Has that actually been corrected or does it need correcting? If you look on the members' intranet at the minutes, for this time, for July last year, it says that 4 members voted in favour of this application and 4 abstained, but the chairman used a casting vote. They weren't abstentions,
no.
We actually voted against.
Yeah.
So I think that somehow or other that needs correcting. If it hasn't been corrected as an after that, it's still there, because when I went to look at it first thing this morning to see what the situation was, it was still like that, and I think that needs sorting out, really.
Yeah.
And if I can ask a second question, I did declare an interest 12 months ago, and I come today having voted against this 12 months ago, and I'm struggling to understand how I'm expected to come with a completely open mind to this application. Because I've actually already voted against it 12 months ago. So, and I'm also aware that there are 3 people here who weren't party to that discussion 12 months ago. So I'm not quite sure what the situation is with regard to that. So perhaps you could help us out a bit. I'm sure I'm not the only one that sort of thinks... Yeah.
If I could address the first part of the question. So Section 25 of the Localism Act does offer you some... support there. So any action or wording or any action of that kind which might look like you have been predetermined on a matter, you're not to be taken as having a closed mind or being predetermined just because you have taken a previous resolution on a matter. You can come, obviously you will come with a predisposition towards the application, but that is acceptable. So long as you have an open mind and come ready to listen to the debate on the matter which is being brought, the fresh matter, which may or may not change your view, that's the matter for you. It's perfectly acceptable because there is a resolution to grant, but there has been no decision due to the fact that the unilateral undertaking Section 106 agreement has not been completed, and that was a condition of the previous resolution. Because that's not been completed, the matter can be brought back for a fresh resolution in the light of the new material consideration which is before you today. So you are open. It is open to you to consider the application again within the parameter of the new information which will be outlined in the presentation.
But obviously the old information that was 12 months ago still forms part of my thinking, and I'm allowed for that to form part of my decision-making process.
You are... But I would proceed, my advice is to proceed with caution when going over the old ground, which is subject to the previous resolution. It's a matter of natural justice that if you want to depart from what was previously debated and decided upon, you would have to give very clear, cogent reasons why you want to to depart now from what has previously been discussed and decided.
Thank you. So we'll move on to planning application P20220075 for the erection of 9 dwellings and associated garaging and parking, including local needs housing and first homes and construction of vehicular access. And this is for the field north of Chapel Lane, Rangemoor, Burton-on-Trent, DE139RR. Just before I pass over to the planning officer for presentation, I'd just make a short statement on this item. This report on the proposal focuses on the consideration of the impact on the conservation area and the previous absence of the consultation with a historic environment specialist. However, as the decision notice following the previous resolution has not been issued, the committee, if it so wishes, at liberty to consider any aspect of the application. The committee is reminded that the earlier resolution to approve, subject to a legal agreement, has been in place for almost a year. Therefore, in fairness to the applicant, members should consider carefully and provide clear reasons why they may wish to reconsider aspects of the application which they have already debated and a resolution reached to approve. Thank you. I'll pass over to the planning officer presentation.
Okay, good afternoon. So as you've heard, we're here to discuss planning application P2022-00785, the field north of Chapel Lane, Rangemoor. The proposal is for the erection of 9 dwellings and associated garaging and parking, including local needs housing and first homes, and the construction of vehicle access. As we've heard, there's a resolution from July 2023 from this committee, resolved to grant permission subject to conditions and a Section 106 agreement securing the construction traffic routing plan and affordable local needs housing. What's happened since that time? The local planning authority received a challenge where concerns were raised specifically in relation to the impact of the proposal on the conservation area and the absence of consultation with a historic environment specialist on the application. So what members have got before them today is an addendum report which sets out conservation officer comments on the scheme before you today. It references amended plans since July last year and also includes previous conservation officer comments on a previous version of the scheme, which was submitted under a pre-app application. So just to go through the proposals and the site itself. So we've got the site within the conservation area, that's this kind of pinky colour. Application site outlined in black. We've got public footpaths, which I'll go on to talk about shortly, but we did actually walk up one of these today, and then we walked along here. So just to remind members of that. And then listed buildings in Rangemoor, further along the main road. And that's just a zoomed out one just to see a bit more context and the extent of the conservation area. The neighbourhood plan, this extract taken from that plan, shows key views in and out of Rangemoor. And again, when we went up Chapel Lane today, we did stand and look at those views. Some photos of the site. So this is standing at the top of Chapel Lane looking south. And then we've got a few of the field adjacent to the site. So this is the public footpath entrance here. And then this is the application site itself. These are some photos taken today during the site visit. So this one's looking across the application site at the bottom. And members asked about the field beyond the application site. And that's within the conservation area as well. So we saw that. And then here we've got the field where the public footpath extends. So we walked along here, and we also walked to here and looked back to views of the conservation area. And here we've got some views taken from that public footpath, looking back to the conservation area and the application site itself. So during the site visit, we highlighted that in this location would be plot 9 in this location, going down to the single-storey plots here. And then this is just the same, walking back along the public footpath to the top of the application site. And I was specifically asked about the height of plot 9, which is approximately 8 metres, so it wouldn't be as high as those trees. Here we've got the proposed site layout. So Chapel Lane here is where we stood and went across into the field with the public footpath. So we've got a bit of a semi-courtyard arrangement here with four plots with frontage parking, and there'll be plots suitable for older people. We've got plots 5 and 6, which would be starter homes, and then plots 7, 8 and 9, detached dwellings, 8 and 9 having a detached garage, with a new access to meet the dwellings. And it's worth pointing out that the hedge would be retained with the new access sitting within the site on the other side of the hedge. Also, during our site visit, we looked at the route of the temporary access for construction traffic, just to point out, to clarify, we discussed this location earlier. This is actually at the top of what I'll call the small field that we walked through, and that's the route of the temporary route for construction traffic. And the legal agreement would secure that and secure any works being made good on that afterwards, after it's no longer in use. Just to point out to members as well, particularly those members that weren't here in July last year, there has been a previously approved scheme on the application site at the southern part of the scheme for 4 dwellings. That was in 2018. That has since lapsed, but it is a material consideration before you today. So just to remind members, the previous committee report set out a number of consultation responses. I'll just highlight these. So Tatton Hill and Rangemoor Parish Council objects to the scheme on the following grounds: that Chapel Lane is too narrow, even with the existing traffic. Tatton Hill Lane, the main road in Rangemoor, can't take any more traffic. The proposed development is disproportionate to the size of the village. There are more houses in Chapel Lane than the rest of the village. Concern that the village will lose its character, and concerns about the junction at the end of Chapel Lane. And concerned about the sustainability of the site, being that most people will have to use their own private car. The report previously set out that the County Council had originally raised an objection to the site on the basis of mineral safeguarding, but following the submission of additional information, that objection was removed. There have been no objections on the proposal subject to conditions and informatives, and they're listed there, all the statutory consultees that were notified of the application, and none raised any objections. The previous committee report set out that during the consultation on the application, a petition containing 45 signatures objecting to the scheme was received, and in addition to that, a total of 34 individual letters of objection was also received. With a summary of the issues being the principle of development, 9 dwellings being disproportionate to the scale of the village, contrary to the neighbourhood plan, the location being a greenfield site, and sustainability concerns. Concerns were raised in relation to biodiversity, in particular the impact on habitats and protected species, concerns on highways and the Chapel Lane being too narrow, and there were concerns about the visual amenity of the development, with the impact of the developments not being in keeping, out of impact on the conservation area and impact on key views. There's also concern about residential amenity in terms of privacy, noise and disturbance,
and other comments were made in relation to flooding, drainage and house prices. Turning to the principle of development, so the site is located outside of the limits to development as set out in the local plan, and it's identified as an area of open countryside in the local plan under Tier 3 settlement with Rangemoor. Policy SP8 of the local plan says that development will not be acceptable unless it's in accordance with policies in an adopted neighbourhood plan. So we've got the Tatton Hill and Rangemoor plan with policy SP1, settlements general principles of development, setting out that the settlements of Tatton Hill and Rangemoor are to be the focus of new development within the parish, and these villages are to be promoted as community hubs, and any development that occurs should contribute to reinforcing the role of Tatton Hill and Rangemoor. And the policies assume a focus on the two villages within the parish for development. HE1 of the neighbourhood plan, parish housing strategy, sets out that the neighbourhood plan supports the development of approximately 25 dwellings, which comprises conversions and new builds over the plan period, and that development should be located in accordance with the following spatial strategy. So approximately 10 in Tatton Hill Village, 9 in Rangemoor Village, 2 focused on Tatton Hill Common, which is defined within the policy, and approximately 4 elsewhere within the rural areas of the parish. The neighbourhood plan also contains a policy on infill development, HE1, which says that infill development in the built-up area of Rangemoor and Tatton Hill will be supported where it meets the following criteria. And it's worth just pointing out as well that the supporting justification for this policy is that infill residential development is the most common form of delivering new residential development, and the original policies in the neighbourhood plan from 2016 identified infill in the villages as being an appropriate form of development which should be supported. Traditionally, infill development is classed as development of 1 or 2 dwellings within an otherwise built-up frontage. However, in historical rural villages, it's not as easily determined as the townscape is not always arranged on formal roads or streets. And then it goes on to say that the policy has been created to address concerns about villages becoming overdeveloped or creating highway or parking issues, or developing dwellings out of scale and density to adjacent properties. And then HE2 addresses local housing needs, and the neighbourhood plan says it will look favourably on new development which meets identified local needs for both market and affordable homes. And these local needs include, in Rangemoor Village, up to 3 elderly persons' dwellings, which are defined as being ground floor or single storey dwellings, a single dwelling for a disabled person, and up to 3 starter homes. So I've just put some bullet points here, which is that the definition of Rangemoor Village isn't defined in the plan. I believe that the parish council, and we heard at the previous committee, consider that the entire area, as shown on the inset map, which I'll go on to show next, is what is considered Rangemoor Village. But this is not specifically defined within the policy itself. We also heard at the previous committee about other properties that have been granted permission since the plan was adopted. And there was reference to 3 dwellings. There's actually been 2 other properties granted permission since the plan was adopted. And they are at Rangemoor Gardens and further along Tatton Hill Lane, which we saw when we entered the village today. So just to clarify, whilst it's not defined in the neighbourhood plan, within the policy, it's understood that the parish council believe that this whole inset map is what they would consider to be Rangemoor. But just to clarify, there is no settlement boundary at Rangemoor. There's no kind of defined boundary of where development should take place. So just summing up on the conclusion on the principle of development. So we've seen that there was an application that was approved in 2018 for 4 dwellings, the 4 bungalows, so that's a material consideration before you today. Policy HE2 of the neighbourhood plan looks favourably on new development which meets local needs for both open market and affordable homes, And the scheme before you today proposes four elderly person stroke disabled homes, two starter homes, which would all be for local needs housing, and the legal agreement would secure that, and three open market dwellings. Whilst the application will bring the total number of dwellings to 11 within Rangemoor, as we've seen on the internet map, there is no ceiling or maximum in any local plan or neighbourhood plan, and that would be, if a neighbourhood plan were to say that, that would be contrary to national planning policy, which says that there's no ceiling on development. Viability appraisal has been submitted to demonstrate that the six affordable stroke local needs homes would not be viable without the inclusion of the three market dwellings. The four bungalows will be subject to a condition limiting their sale to over 55s and also to be a person living in the parish. And the two starter homes will be first homes, which will be 30% discounted of the average sale value, with a maximum price of £250,000, and also restricted to a person living, working, or with a connection to the parish. Moving on to other parts of the officer's assessment from last year. Excuse me. So in terms of amenity, it's not considered that there'll be any issues in terms of overlooking, overbearing, or overshadowing. Plots 1 to 4 are single storey in height, and the council's environmental health team have raised no objection. In terms of highways, the County Council Highway Authority have raised no objections, subject to detailed conditions in respect to visibility, adoptable road standards, parking, turning and surfacing, and the construction traffic route would be secured by the legal agreement. And that would ensure that the construction traffic doesn't use Chapel Lane. The site lies within flood zone 1, which is the lowest risk of flooding, and the scheme proposes to dispose of surface water runoff via a sustainable drainage system. Excuse me. And during the course of the application, the scheme has been amended so that it is from a non-main style drainage system to a mains connection. In terms of biodiversity, there's no requirement for this application to provide BNG. It came in before that statutory requirement, but it was accompanied by an ecological appraisal and mitigation strategy for newts, and there were various conditions relating to that. And there's also conditions securing ecological enhancements, including hedgehog holes, swift bricks, bee bricks, etc. So there will be a net gain, it just won't be 10%. In terms of trees, we saw a number of trees, quite large trees on the site today. And all of those hedgerows and trees are to be retained. Should be noted that the scheme was amended to so that one at plot 9 was moved away from the trees. And there are conditions to secure the protection of the roots of those trees as well. In terms of minerals, as I mentioned at the start, there was originally an objection from the County Council, but that has since been removed. And then in terms of Section 106, a draft has been prepared requiring a local needs connection and the traffic construction route. So now turning to, I suppose, the matter before committee today, which is the impact on the conservation area and the absence of conservation officer comments on the scheme when it was presented to members last year. So just to highlight really, so this was submitted as part of a pre-app application. Pre-apps aren't made public, they're usually confidential, but for full completeness this has been provided today. So this was a scheme for 10 dwellings, not 9, and you can see it was a slightly different arrangement. It included a turning facility here. Plot 10, an additional plot, was much larger, sitting at a different angle, closer to the boundary. Three detached dwellings and a row of terrace properties as well. So it was just to highlight, really, that previous conservation input was provided on that scheme, and I'll go through some of the comments here. So it was clear that the development would take the development of Rangemoor beyond the farm into the surrounding countryside, and it would begin to erode the relationship between the former farm, which is the building we saw at the end of Chapel Lane on the left-hand side, and the surrounding agricultural landscape, restricting the setting of that. The comments do acknowledge that the previous permission for the bungalows was somewhat at odds with the established character of the village, and so any scheme is an opportunity to revisit that and consider a better quality scheme. The pre-app scheme presented a mix which was dominated by detached and short terrace properties, whereas that wasn't considered to be the main character of Rangemoor. Plots 1 to 9 as well were showing the car parking to the rear rather than to the front, and that was considered to be not a common feature within the conservation area of Rangemoor. And it was acknowledged that the neighbourhood plan doesn't require 9 dwellings to be developed on a single site. Advice was given to achieve a better scheme, in particular increasing the number of semi-detached units, increasing the spacing between units, which would allow a reasonable degree of boundary treatment along the extended land frontage while allowing parking for each property. And the advice was, if such a large unit was to be proposed, then the northern end of the site is the best place for it, and it would need to be as far from Forestgate Farm, which is the property at the very left at the top of Chapel Lane, to avoid competing with that property. That's seen as an important property on Chapel Lane. And the advice given at the pre-app stage was that any adequately justified proposal would need to demonstrate how it has taken every opportunity to maximise opportunities to enhance the conservation area and to minimise harm. One such enhancement would be to securing a superior scheme to the southern bungalow scheme that was approved, but there are other opportunities for enhancement will need to be identified. So it was basically saying the scheme needed some work. In effect. So that's led to the application before you today, so a reduction in number of properties from 10 to 9, a courtyard arrangement at the bottom rather than this terrace property, and we've also had the road moved within the site and this kind of hammered head arrangement removed as well. And the built form of development doesn't extend as far within the site boundary. So turning to the Conservation Officer comments on the scheme before you today. So they consider that the block plan, which I'll bring up at the end, shows a linear row of properties that would complement the existing settlement pattern of Rangemoor Conservation Area. The detached double bay garages are not seen as a positive form of development, and that would be the area that they would seek to amend. However, that is the only negative aspect of the works proposed. The elevational built form is considered a high standard of design, and it reflects the 19th century estate village palette of materials, including elongated chimney stacks, wall dormers, facing gables, ridge tiles, barge boarding, the width of gables, and all of those are considered to be consistent with the prevailing character of the conservation area. The conservation officer did make the point that the roof lines were not aligned, so we have got some amended plans, which I'll go through on those. So in summary, it is considered that there is a marginal degree of harm to views towards the open countryside when viewed from Chapel Lane. The harm is mitigated by the fact that the development is only taking place on one side of the new access road, and that's behind the hedge. And then the harm, it would amount to a greater degree of harm if it was on both sides. And the new dwellings are considered broadly acceptable. They are primarily in linear form and a modest set of dwellings in the arts and crafts style. The conservation officer does say that it's regrettable that a stricter design code was not agreed prior to the application coming to committee last time, but there are conditions that are set out in the report which would secure those materials. So in conclusion, There is a degree of harm caused for the open views when viewed from Chapel Lane, but these are considered to be counterbalanced by the provision of houses for the elderly and disabled, which are public benefits in accordance with paragraph 208 and 212 of the NPPF, and the works are considered acceptable subject to conditions. So just to remind members of the elevations of the plots, so here we've got plots 1 to 4, so no changes proposed to those. Plots 5 and 6, so these are the starter homes, and just point out where the roof lights are on these ones. So that was a scheme that was before members last year, and here we've got amended, so removal of roof lights on the front elevations. And again for plot 7, note where the roof lights are previously, and again removing them from those front elevations. And same for 8 and 9. So concluding, there will be a marginal degree of harm caused to the open views when viewed from Chapel Lane, which are considered to be counterbalanced by the provision of houses for the elderly and disabled, which are public benefits. Therefore, the proposal complies with the local plan, neighbourhood plan, parking standards SPD, the National Planning Policy Framework, design SPD and parking standards, and the recommendation is to grant permission subject to amended conditions and Section 106 agreement securing the construction traffic route plan and affordable local housing needs. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got a number of speakers on this item, so if I could ask for Brian Huckabee to come up first, please. Press the mic when you're ready. Thank you.
My name is Brian Huckabee, and I'm the chairman of Tatenhall and Rangemoor Parish Council. I have 45 years of experience in property and associated planning matters as a former fellow of the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors and as a development consultant. My career included 10 years working in local government, or in excess of 10 years, and I sat on the Derby City Council Planning Committee as an officer for a number of years, advising members on property-related matters. I today bring you 3 minutes' worth of verbals. On the 27th of November, I supplied, or my parish clerk supplied you with a detailed complaint which extended beyond 8 pages of issues which we saw had not been resolved by the planning report which was brought before you last time. Can I say that this application has been made solely for the purpose of maximising the sale value of the land? Immediately that the resolution to grant planning consent was made by your committee in July 2023, the Burton Property Trust placed the site on the market as having detailed planning consent at a price of $595,000, dispelling any notion that the site or local needs housing would be developed by the current owners. The current report, which you've received today by officers, now incorporates advice from a heritage officer, but fails to consider and address the visual impact of the development when looking into the village. I'm pleased to see that you've made detailed inspections from the various fields looking into the village today. Section 6 of the Rangemoor Conservation Area Appraisal and Management Plan refers to the need to preserve the key views of the village for those entering from the public footpath across the fields at the end of Chapel Lane. The proposed development, in the opinion of the Parish Council, blocks and destroys the view and therefore fails to preserve or enhance the conservation area as required by planning policies. Secondly, the current report fails to reconsider policy HE1 of the neighbourhood plan for new development to not exceed approximately nine new houses in Rangemoor. There have already been three new houses built in Rangemoor, and therefore these 9 houses constitute a 33% increase and cannot be interpreted as an approximate 9 houses In this respect, the planning officer incorrectly advised you that the restriction on the number of new houses applied only to the conservation area boundary. I think the planning officer has today explained that Rangemoor Village does extend beyond the conservation boundary, and that was identified in the village plan in the Tate and Rangemoor Conservation Area Advisory Plan, which I would reiterate was jointly prepared by your planning officers, external expert consultants and the parish council after several years of consultation with residents, as was the neighbourhood plan.
Finally, thank you. If I could have just asked you to conclude there, your time is finished.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you. If I could ask for David Walton to come forward, please.
Of Chapel Lane. The neighbourhood plan states the development takes place in the village, not the conservation area. One house in Church Road has already been built, plus a new detached house in Rangemoor Gardens, plus Mr. Tipper's holiday cottage at Brinkley Wood. Now that Blackpit is up for sale, Mr. Greenman has been moved to Home Farm, which had accommodation for two families, but now has redeveloped for three families. Rangemoor Club no longer functions for the residents of Rangemoor and instead mysteriously serves as a rented accommodation. The club car park cannot be used and seems an ideal site for infilling development. No doubt Dingle Farm and outbuildings which lie empty is due for redevelopment. When Rangemoor residents were asked their opinion of the development, some who rented estate houses preferred not to comment. The large majority of residents were against the development. It would be encouraging to believe that democracy worked. One family who thought the bungalows were a good idea now realised they could never afford the rent. How is the infrastructure in Chapel Lane going to cope with the disposal of sewage with an increase of 30%? Chapel Lane is an old country road. It was never meant to cope with today's volume of traffic. Residents and visitors understandably park on the pavement. Bin collections, oil deliveries, etc. compound the problem. We fear for emergency vehicle access should the need arise. Clearly the state of the road has been abandoned. 9 or 10 more houses, additional cars, is unsustainable. The development on lighthouses number 22-14, which were infill, represents encroachment in the countryside and urban sprawl. The resident, Mr. Leather, says that if the council gives permission for the development, then the developer should lodge a bond with the council for the removal of the temporary road in case of insolvency. The temporary road should be time limited. My final observation concerns a point of order. From my very limited experience of committees, when the vote is a tie, the chairperson has a casting vote and normally maintains the status quo. Not as last time, when the voting, voted for the development. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could ask for Diane Miller to come forward, please.
Okay. Hello. I've lived in the village for nearly 20 years. I used to live in a city, and now I live in a beautiful rural village of Rangemoor. I object to the plans. As a villager and parish councillor, we put hundreds of hours into our NDP. This is the NDP. It was revised by the ESBC in 2016. In that revision, the HE2 local housing needs for Rangemoor was changed to approximately 9 houses focused on Rangemoor Village. It did not specify the conservation area, as said previously in the planning. In the previous planning meeting, it was stated by the planners that this was the conservation area. That is incorrect. Rangemoor Village is a lot bigger than a conservation area. Therefore, these plans are wrong. The facts are there are 4 houses that have been granted planning permission in Rangemoor. I won't go through all. There's large 5-bedroom detached, 1 detached dwelling, subdivision alterations to existing farmhouse, and a conversion of 2 game lodges in Rangemoor Hall. And with the 9 houses or 10 houses planned here, that's 9 plus 3 or 4 makes 12 or 13 houses. That does not relate to approximately 9 houses. Even Balfour's comments stated in response to the objections on your website. Furthermore, it says MP policy HE1 states that there will be approximately 9 houses in Rangemoor Village. 1 house is being built on the appeal site, and the current application will add a further 9 to make a total of 10, which is approximately 9. Again, we consider that 10 is more or less 9. It is not. There's 12 or 13 houses that will be built in Rangemoor. This is overdevelopment of one area. This is 30% extra houses in one place. How is that justified? Especially if there are 2,500 houses being built at Bouncet Locks. How are they justifying it all by starter homes and elderly person houses? Well, in the last meeting, Balfours were called up to this meeting and they could not guarantee that those houses would be, as in their words, it wouldn't make enough money to build them. What guarantee have we got? Nothing at all. What happens? How are we going to guarantee it? You cannot. The temporary road. So, mitigation, there's to be a temporary road. Why is that? Because the road itself is too narrow to go down with big lorries. Surely that tells you it's not suitable for another 27 cars and everything else that goes with 9 houses. Temporary road. Who's going to check it's going to be temporary? Who's going to check the lorries, etc., will go down there? How will you make it temporary? What will stop the estate building more houses off that temporary road? You cannot guarantee it. This village is historic. It was built by the Bass family for their workers. It is unique. It needs to stay as such. Extending it with a huge 30% increase in housing will not keep the village historic. It will open the floodgates to more and more ingress into the Greenbelt. Our views across the fields will be blighted by those 9 houses. This is not a town. This is a rural village. We have no amenities except a post box. We're just the little people here. We live in this village. This is my home. We have a great old community of which we're very proud. These plans are wrong on so many points, and the biggest one is that the number of houses in one place and that it exceeds the number in our NDP. This is our document. We are very proud of it. It's being ignored. Please, please vote against it. There are thousands of NDPs out there. They are really useful. If you don't want to listen to them, please ignore them. They're supposed to be a legal document. Keep to it. Save our rural life and save our village. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could ask for David Parker to come forward, please.
Thanks, Chairman. Do I have time just to clarify something before I start? No?
If it's going to be within your 3 minutes, then that's fine. But we're
it's
all
just regarding the 2 previous...
3 minutes will start now. Sorry, you've stopped.
Okay. The 2 previous speakers said that policy HE1, which is what says there should be approximately nine dwellings in Rangemoor, that policy applies beyond the conservation area. That is not what the neighbourhood plan says. In fact, when the revision to the neighbourhood plan was put forward in 2019, the examining inspector actually criticised the fact that the conservation area was being used to define Rangemoor because it was too big. It had big tracts of open countryside in it. So what they were proposing was against national policy, development in open countryside. So he rejected and removed
the definition of the village as being the conservation area, never mind anything beyond it. So all these other properties that they say have been built in that area are not in Rangemoor Village. Read the inspector's report on the examination into the neighbourhood plan. All I want to say otherwise is I just want to take you back to your site visit this morning. I was talking about the impact on the conservation area. If you remember, your first view of the site was at the end of Chapel Lane, and basically what you saw in front of you was a large hedge, the gateway through to the field, and you had to literally put your head over the gate to the right to see the site. So that hedge is, some of it is coming out to make the access into the site, but then I would say 80 to 90% of that hedge, where we all walked down to the stile that very few of us could get over, 80 to 90% of that is being retained. And similarly, the hedge that runs on an angle at the top of the site, at the northern boundary. So when we got to those two points where we looked at it and looked back, we could see the site, yes, and no doubt we will be able to see the tops of the houses. But they will be screened and softened by that hedgerow, which, as I say, is over 2 metres high now. And therefore it's appropriate for the conservation area. At the end of Chapel Lane, yes, the hedge will be removed. We'll be able to see right into the development. But we want people to see them. They're nicely designed. They're specifically designed to follow the style of buildings in Rangemoor. And they're linear. So we want to keep that linear tradition along Chapel Lane. So those are my thoughts. Your historic environment specialist, your heritage, our heritage consultant and your planners all say there's no adverse effect on the conservation area. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll now open the floor up for debate with committee members. Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Chair. To be honest, we really haven't resolved the issues that were issues at the last meeting. And the big issue at the last meeting was whether 9 houses in this plan that were defined as a neighbourhood plan, wanting a maximum of or approximately 9 houses, and whether some of the other houses that have been developed in Rangemoor are actually part of that and should be treated as part of that. So whether we have 12 houses because there are already 3 with planning permission, or whether this 9 stands alone. And I think that's an issue that we had a year ago, and to be honest, I can't see that that's been resolved. There was an original plan for 4 bungalows, and I can see that that would have been acceptable. I think it wasn't acceptable because it wasn't financially viable, and I do understand that as well. But I can also understand why residents think that their allocation throughout their village as 9 houses all in one spot was never ever what they intended when they developed the neighbourhood plan. They expected the houses to be 2 or 3 here and there. I don't think anyone ever envisaged that 9 houses would be put in one place together, and I think that's a huge part of the issue for them. That they should not just be there, that's it, done for however many years we've got ongoing. There are just a couple of other issues that I would, you know, I don't know how we resolve this about whether the village boundary and the conservation boundary are the same thing, because it's quite obvious, I never thought that they were the same thing. It's quite obvious that most of the people who live there don't think that's the same thing. But that seems to be at the heart of 9 or 12 buildings, so that, you know, that's that we just haven't resolved that as far as I'm concerned yet. There was a question as well that I had. The bungalows and the like were for local people, I think the report said. I don't know how on earth are you going to enforce that. How is that going to work? I mean, I can't imagine that there probably are that many people within the village that actually want to move within that area at the moment. I mean, it's a tiny village, as you see when you're out there, and I don't know how on earth we're going to enforce that, how that's going to last, whether it's the first time they're sold, whether it's going to be in perpetuity, whether, you know, what the issue is, and how do we do that, to be honest. We've had this before, I know, and I don't know how we've dealt with it. What do you do? Make people that are local buy something that maybe is not what they want. Yeah. So, you know, I'm still here and thinking that I haven't really had any of my issues from the previous meeting resolved, I'm afraid. So, thank you.
Councillor Slater, are you indicating to speak? Yeah. Sorry? Yeah, carry on.
Sorry, people. Yeah, now, forgive me, are the conditions new to the last application we did, going back to July again, I think?
No, they're not. They are the same as what were presented before.
Exactly.
It'll just be the amended plans to reflect the changes that I've highlighted.
Right, because I don't remember the condition 21 particularly, energy efficiency, renewable energy details. I don't remember that.
No, they are the same.
Well, I do beg your pardon, and I've obviously not read the documents properly. Okay, thank you. I'll stop there.
Councillor Legg, did you indicate?
Thank you. Just wanted to ask about the conservation report. Degree of harm. Marginal degree of harm. Can somebody tell me what that means, please?
I can in a minute. I'm just going to bring up the MPPF and I can read it out to you exactly.
Councillor Ashcroft.
Yeah, I think Councillor Jones covered the housing side of things. In the report, following on from Councillor Legg, it says from the conservation office, this is a broadly acceptable application. I'm not happy with broadly acceptable at all. From walking around this morning, going past those 9 houses or so, from either way, you're going to see 3/4 of that house above whatever height. That hedge has got to be huge to cover those houses. We're well into the conservation area. It's going to affect the whole character of not just Chapel Lane, but the whole village, because you're going to see it when you're walking along those public footpaths. It's tiny. It's just too much, as Councillor Jones said, in one area. There's a likelihood as well, I think it is on page 4 of the report, of those owners wanting to enclose frontages at some point in the future. Again, that's going to affect the whole of Chapel Lane and everything going up further into that field. I'm really struggling to find anything positive about the application. I'm really sorry.
Just go back to Councillor Legg's point. The MPPF presents a bit of a scale of harm. Whether it's helpful or not, it's quite broad. So it ranges from substantial harm, total loss, or less than substantial harm. So it doesn't really, I suppose, it's quite black and white in a way, whereas so a degree might be down to, you know, a subjective view, but the report does identify a level of harm, but I wouldn't say it's substantial or total loss of, but it is still harm that you have to give great weight to.
Thank you.
Councillor Smedley first, please.
Thank you, Chair. Following on from Councillor Legg in respect to this marginal degree of harm, I'm just intrigued when it goes on to say that it's counterbalanced by the provision of the houses for the elderly and the disabled. Is that a leverage for the planning, just to get the planning through?
No, they are benefits that you do have to give weight to as well.
Okay.
So ultimately, you've got a balancing act here.
Yeah.
You've got a harm to the conservation area, which you have to give great weight to. Planning legislation requires that you give that great consideration, regardless of the level of harm. But then you have also got to give weight to the benefits. You can't ignore those benefits.
Right, okay.
You have got to give them weight. So it's a balance basically between those two. And usually private benefits, you wouldn't give any, you know, if someone wanted to put a shed in their garden, for example, in a listed building, you could say that's a private benefit and one that you wouldn't give any
consideration to, but the dwellings, and particularly affordable and local needs and homes for older people are public benefits that you have to consider.
So, thank you, Naomi. So, following on from that, I'm just thinking, is that the place for the elderly and disabled when there's no public transport, there's no shops? I think the closest shop is the New Inn supermarket. So there's no great sustainable facilities really in Rangemoor.
I would suppose that they've been included in this application because they were identified as being needed in the neighbourhood plan. So I suppose it's a direct response to that policy.
Councillor Whittaker first, please.
So you're basically saying that the figure put in the neighbourhood plan is, if there's no ceiling on it, I mean, where do you end with something like that? Okay, there's got to be a percentage, or there's got to be an element of sort of top level, taking into account the village as it is and the character of the village. I don't understand. But I remember saying at the last plan that the villagers were hit with their own kids were being beat up with their own stick. And I still feel that to a degree, whereby the developers come in, offered everything that is wanted in the plan. You said that you favoured infill. Well, I mean, this isn't infill in any stretch of the imagination. It's nine houses plonked on the end, three to sort of finance it. And they just ticked every box from their perspective. And I'm struggling to find a planning reason to go against it. But I don't totally agree. It's not. I can't see how you can say it's sustainable with the views given then. There's no shops. It doesn't tick that box. But how can we defend that when there's nothing in the plan to say it's got to be within walking distance or whatever it is from a shop? I mean, it's all the perception of local, what is local and what is sort of sustainable, and I'm struggling with it.
Just being mindful of the discussion that we had at the very start of this item and things that have been discussed before, I suppose, and the reason it's come back to committee today is the impact on the conservation area. So when you mentioned planning reason, that is a clear planning reason, you know, balancing up harm with the benefits of the proposal.
Also stated that anything could come back in the meeting purely to get the picture of where we're at with the application. So I take on board what you say, but I still think we've still got to consider everything of its merit.
Councillor Jones.
I personally think that the planning reason is the harm that's come in the report today. I think that adds weight to what we did before. But my question really was that the four houses that were discussed by councillors here, they were for local people. The benefit of those houses was for local people, and nobody seems to be able to tell me how you enforce that for local people. It isn't just for local people, it's whoever comes in and pays their money, I suspect. How are we going to make that as a benefit for local people?
So the legal agreement would factor that in, so it would, maybe Penny can add to what I'm saying, but it would be marketed for that to begin with and for a period of time, and only those with a local connection, so living, working or with a family connection, you know, if someone's moving back to the area perhaps to look after a relative, that would all meet our the test. But obviously after a while, if no one came forward, then the legal agreement would allow that to be removed. But in terms of the starter homes, they are capped in perpetuity. The price. Yeah, and it has to be for first-time buyers in perpetuity.
If it helps, councillors, if the covenants in a Section 106 agreement where you have a local connection normally work by a restricting the first category of people who are allowed to be considered for a home, restricted to be for local people, to people within the parish. If there is nobody that comes forward who fits that criteria, then there's what's called a cascade mechanism. So you have the surrounding parishes normally, excuse me, so that's sort of category B, as it were, and then failing the immediate parish, the parish that's surrounded, it normally cascades to the district, and then failing that, it's anybody. But that's all covered in the covenants in section 106.
Okay, thank you. I mean, the village itself is so small that I can see that would cascade very, very quickly, and the local benefit would be lost, in my view.
Councillor Huckabee.
I always forget that. Could I get a definitive from the planning officer on this number game that seems to be going backwards and forwards? Have there been 12 houses or 11 houses built or going to be built, or what's included and what isn't included, where the number counting actually took place, what numbers were placed in it? Because, you know, like Councillor Jones, I see this as bubbling backwards and forwards from meeting to meeting without any clear... The questions have been asked, nobody seems to be given a definitive on it.
Okay, so the neighbourhood plan looks to deliver 9 dwellings, approximately 9, in Rangemoor. Whilst I don't believe that the policy actually says that this inset is the definition of Rangemoor, that's what the neighbourhood plan group, the parish council, believe is what it says. I think that the policy doesn't actually say that. It doesn't define this inset map as the location. But, you know, that's I suppose, the grey area in this application. In terms of other applications that have been approved, we've got one here, which was allowed at appeal, which we saw today. And we've got one in Rangemoor Gardens. So you could come to a view that those two are meeting the need within Rangemoor. But again, 2, does that mean that, you know, the application before you should be refused on that basis? My advice would be no, it wouldn't. I think that would be contrary to national planning policy. Going back to Councillor Whittaker's point, at what point would it become a problem? Would it tip the balance? And helpfully, there's nothing in any policy that gives us any help on that. It would just come down to the impact of the proposal, in my view. So in some ways, it's helpful. In other ways, still some grey areas, I'm afraid.
Could I just ask, Naomi,
So just for my own clarity, the other two that have been mentioned, do they come into this circa or not?
Again, that would be for members to take a view on whether you accept that Rangemoor Village is this, you know, the map before you in its entirety. From a planning point, I would say Rangemoor is the core of Rangemoor, so I would say no, they're not. But then they were only allowed... Sorry, I would count this one. This one, I would say, is yes, that is Rangemoor. This one, I would say, is... that was determined in accordance with national planning policy, being an exceptional design property. So I wouldn't say that one was. And then just to confirm as well, there's been quite a lot of talk that we've heard from speakers about holiday accommodation. Just to confirm, they are not... classed as dwellings, so they would not form part of any consideration for members.
Councillor Huckabee, did you want to come back then?
Yes, could I come back and ask for a definition of what infill, what the definition actually is, what it includes and what it doesn't include?
There isn't a national definition of infill, and we haven't got one in the local plan. If I go back to this slide here, so this is taken from the neighbourhood plan. This is their policy, particularly on infill. So some neighbourhood plans have defined it themselves, which is fine. And so the neighbourhood plan, which I would say is the, you know, how you would define it in this case, infill development is classed as development of 1 or 2 dwellings within an otherwise built-up frontage. However, in historic rural villages, this is not easily determined
as the townscape is not always arranged on formal roads or streets. So it's not always obvious that it's a gap, for example. But in this case, I would say that that would be your definition of infill.
So what one might say is that the looseness with which parish councils build their neighbourhood plans and boundaries and conservation areas and whatever, the collateral damage of the looseness of that results in interpretations which might not be favourable to them when they were discussing it, but have not been included in such a legalised way as to be definable exactly.
Yeah, there's the potential for that to happen. And I think that's possibly due to the fact that neighbourhood plans have to be examined by an independent examiner. And we've heard today from the agent who highlighted sort of concerns that inspector raised when they were examining the plan.
Councillor Jones, did you want to comment?
Yeah, I just want to say that actually if the neighbourhood plan has said we want 9 houses in blocks of 3, you know, we'll happily accept 3-3-3, then we wouldn't have this issue today. Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right that it's loosely been determined or defined by those doing the neighbourhood plan, and you know, they've sort of really created a problem for themselves, which seems to me to be really unfair considering the amount of time and effort that went into that neighbourhood plan. But I just had a question for Naomi. The other properties that were considered is Home Farm. Is Home Farm not another property within the area that has been, as I understand, it's been divided into 2 homes now?
I'm not familiar with the exact location of that one. The key point is, if it's on this plan, this is, I'm trying to say that you as the parish council consider that anything on this plan is what you class as Rangemoor. It's not necessarily what the plan or a planning professional would class as Rangemoor. That's just the point I'm making. So I don't think we need to get into a nitty-gritty of ones and twos here. It's just the principle of what the neighbourhood plan actually says is Rangemoor.
Councillor Whittaker.
Move away from this, but going on from these two last questions from Councillor Jones. If it had been in the neighbourhood plan, now I'm talking hypothetically here, how defendable would that have been with planning policy?
If what would have been in, sorry?
A maximum of 3 houses in any one place or over a time period or anything.
Oh, I don't think we'd be having this debate if that was in a neighbourhood plan. Yeah.
That's answered the question, thank you.
Do we have any further speakers on the item? No further speakers on the item. We've had a comprehensive debate. We've listened to members of the committee, officers, just taking the matter forward now for a vote. Do I have any indication of anyone seeking to take this application for approval?
Excuse me, Chair. I'm sorry about it. There was a mention about the temporary road, whether that was going to, there was a time limit on that, and whether it was going to be returned to its natural format afterwards. It's just a question was asked by one of the speakers.
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure there is a time limit in the legal agreement, but. You know, securing that, and yeah, I think the comment was about a bond, wasn't it? About in case something goes wrong in the future. So yeah, that would all be wrapped up in the legal agreement to secure it, and you know, for it to be taken away afterwards.
Thank you. So moving back, do we have anybody wanting to take the application forward for approval? Councillor Huckabee, do we have any seconder for the application? Councillor Whittaker. So we've got the application before us, we've got a proposer and a seconder. Can I see a show of hands, all those in favour of taking the application forward for approval? All those against?
Any abstentions? Thank you, members. From the vote we've just had, obviously, we're taking the application back for refusal now. Could I have a proposer for the refusal, and then we're going to get clear reasons for refusal. So Councillor Jones has indicated she'd propose for the refusal, and Councillor Legg has seconded it. So now, if we move over to reasons for refusal, so we can just take some notes and then vote on that, just to clarify.
The conservation officer's degree of harm is unacceptable, as far as I'm concerned, that there's any harm at all. That should be there's no harm, not a degree of harm, is my first. And my second is that I don't believe that this is in accordance with the neighbourhood plan. Certainly not in the spirit of a neighbourhood plan. And those are my two reasons. Well, that's the harm bit. That's the harm bit.
Councillor Legg, would you like to add to that as a seconder?
Yes, please. And mine would be the effect on the environment.
Sorry, Councillor Legg, are you just able to expand on that refusal reason?
Yes, certainly. I think the loss of flora and fauna could be related. Also, the protection of trees, hedges. Please. Is that enough, or would you like to go on?
I take your point, Councillor Legg, but there isn't really a policy, because the application predates the requirement for the 10% biodiversity net gain. I don't think you have a legally defensible reason to put forward environmental harm in that way.
Okay, I'll have a look for another one. Thank you. Sustainability, then, please.
I know we have touched on sustainability today, and members have commented on the location and no facilities within the village. But as I would be concerned about that as a standalone reason for refusal, given that the neighbourhood plan itself does seek to have some development, whether it's in one site or not, it does seek to have some development. So I think that reason for refusal isn't justified.
The two reasons that I gave, are they justified as those reasons for refusal?
If I could clarify, so what you are saying is that you consider that the balance in the test, so that there's a less than substantial degree of harm, but it's not outweighed by the public benefit. That's your refusal. Yeah.
That was my first one. My second one was that I did not believe in the spirit or in accordance with the local
neighbourhood development plan, certainly not in the spirit of the plan. I think a refusal reason based on the spirit of the neighbourhood plan wouldn't be defensible. I think we would need more specific.
I need some more justification for these numbers, because I am not happy that we are having 9 houses there. That is not exceeding what the expectation
I think we can find some wording to cover that refusal reason. Yeah. Sorry, councillors. I think, therefore, the proposal is to refuse for the first refusal reason that the proposal is against the NPPF in that the harm outweighs the public benefit.
Are you happy with that?
No, we'll come with the second one, but that's the wording for the first one. So you'd be happy with that? Yeah. We'll just get the second one worded up and then we'll just present it before we take a vote.
I'm just thinking, if it helps, the neighbourhood plan isn't really precise enough, is it? If we've not got proper guidance on it as to what is in the area, if the planning inspector, as a gentleman from the applicant said, has discussed it, but if there's no firm guidance, then we can't really judge, can we, on the validity of the neighbourhood plan, and therefore this should be refused.
Sorry, I'll just allow the proposer and the seconder comment on that now. We've had the vote, so... Obviously, that's their right for refusal. Sorry, members, we'll just have a few minutes intermission while the officers word up the refusal. If I could ask for members to remain seated, please. Councillor Legge, if you could present that document back, please. Thank you. Till the meeting's concluded. Thank you, members. Thank you. We've had the write-up for the first refusal reason. You've all heard that. So we'll get the second one now, and then we'll move to vote.
So the second reason could be the 9 dwellings proposed are inappropriate by virtue of their density and location, which is not consistent with the development strategy as set out in the Tatton Hill and Rangemoor Neighbourhood Development Plan. It is considered that the proposals are not in accordance with HE1 and HE1.1 of the Neighbourhood Plan.
I could never do that good a job of it, but thanks, Naomi. Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you. So we've heard the two reasons for refusal. So moving to a vote. All those in favour of those reasons for refusal? Any against? Any abstentions? Thank you. That concludes the matter for this item. It's been refused, subject to the refusal reasons read out. We'll move up. If anybody would like to leave the room at this point, if you could do so, please. Thank you, members. Moving to agenda item number 6, request members to consider the appeals received, withdrawn and determined. Noted, thank you. Agenda item number 7, request members to consider the delegated planning permissions circulated with the agenda. Noted, thank you. Thank you. Before we move to agenda item 8, we will now request the press and the public to leave the room, that in accordance with section 100A(4) of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in paragraphs part 1 of schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda. Can I have a proposer for that, please? Councillor Legg, seconder. Councillor Ashcroft. All those in favour? Any against? Any abstentions? Thank you.